This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's 560, the Joe Radio Rewind. Running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. Where you at? I am Dan Day on social media at Dan Day Radio, because that's what I do. I'm Dan Day all day, and I'm on the radio. Thank you so much for listening, even if you're not listening on the radio. Maybe you're podcasting. Maybe you're listening on the radio.com app. Your phone, who knows? That's your business. But thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Going to make it worth your while on the way. Joe Rose Show talking to the coach. You know who I'm talking about. Manny Diaz. A lot going on with the Hurricanes this offseason. Then we got Greeny and my guy, Big Swagoo. He and I played against each other in high school. No, I'm 130 pounds and 5'10". We did not play football against each other. We played basketball against each other. Telling you, Swagoo could play some basketball too. Would have gone on scholarship for basketball, but he was a better football player. If you can even believe that, of course, he made it to the pros. He played at LSU, played for the Cowboys. Now he's a great broadcaster. He and I took some mass comm classes together at LSU, too. I'm telling you, man, Marcus Spears and I are like peas in a pod, sort of. Let's get to some headlines. The NFL Conference Finals are set. Sunday, the Chiefs will face the Bills, while the Bucks and Packers will square off. The Heat-Pistons game today has been rescheduled from 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock. No reason for the rescheduling has been given. Behind Isaiah Wong's 30 points, the Canes basketball team upset number 16 Louisville Saturday 78-72. They look to continue their winning ways tomorrow against Syracuse at 7. Following the signing of Cuban teenage prospect Yidi Capi, Baseball America has named Marlins pitcher Sixto Sanchez the number 6 prospect in Major League Baseball. The season begins April 1st. Inter Miami has named Phil Neville coach and former Seattle executive Chris Henderson chief soccer officer sporting director. Neville and David Beckham were teammates in the Premier League. The Panthers successfully opened their season yesterday, defeating Chicago 5-2. The two play again tomorrow at 7. Devontae Smith will play in this year's Senior Bowl. Several mock drafts have the Alabama receiver going number 3 overall to Miami, and some of the Dolphins staff will coach at the Senior Bowl. In the rejuvenated Florida-Georgia High School All-Star football game, Georgia defeated Florida 26-10. And now, oh yeah, take a deep breath, relax, and take a step into the day spa. A Denver area dog that was in a car when it was stolen has been returned some 2 weeks later to its owner. Yeah, I can't blame the thief. Who wants all that responsibility? You can now buy Lizzie Borden's former home, a house which was the site of a brutal axe murder, for $2 million. Man, you have to be one rich, sadistic fool to want to buy that place. A man has refused to sign his son's birth certificate after the mother named the child after one of her ex-boyfriends. Uh-oh, someone check the paternity of that child. Several bins of ice cream have tested positive for COVID-19 in China. Man, this pandemic knows no bounds. To the Exergen Weather Center, tonight's forecast partly cloudy with temperatures in the high 60s. Got to get high on your supply of Manny Diaz. He is talking with the Joe Rose Show this morning. They got into it about the coaching changes, the transfer portal, recruiting, coming back and running it back. A lot of players want to return to the U, and can't blame them. Coral Gables, a magical place. And also, they just talked football with the man, Manny Diaz.
Coach Manny Diaz from Miami Hurricanes joins us right now. Got a lot of stuff to get to. I know he's been busy, but Manny, as we say good morning to you, did you get a chance to watch the Chiefs and the Browns at the end of the game?
Yeah, I had a chance to watch all the games. It was some good stuff.
I always love to ask you because you've been in these situations, fourth and one, midfield, backup quarterback in. I think we all thought maybe they were going to try to get him to jump off sides and then punt the ball because the Browns had burned their timeouts, and he ends up throwing a quick pass to the outside. How many coaches do you think have the you-know-whats to try that one, Manny?
Yeah, the play call was definitely daring, to say the least. But but as I said, you know, again, if you treat the game like blackjack strategy-wise, you follow all the strategy, fourth and one is almost always a go there because you get a chance to win the game. And when you don't have the football, weird things can happen. Remember, we talk about the Dolphins and Raiders sometimes. You know, hey, should have happened. All of a sudden, the guy slips in coverage. So there's a reason why they're the champs.
Well, listen, it was. You're right about the games. They were crazy. Manny, you've been busy. A lot of coaching changes, including what you're going to be doing, taking over the play calling from Blake Baker. Help me out on your thoughts on that decision to do that. I was a little surprised.
When we don't play defense to the standard of what we expect at Miami, it's not so much about just the play calling in particular, as if, you know, that there's a special secret to that. It's just about accountability, and accountability goes right to me for us to play great defense at UM. By putting myself in that role, what we are able to do as a staff is that we can put the accountability then on the players, because now with the head coach calling the show on defense, there's nowhere to hide now, you know, for our team, and just reestablishing the standard, the way we do things, the way we do anything on that side of the ball. And I just felt that's what we needed. You know, I'm excited for the challenge.
Coach, let me ask you, DeMarcus Van Dyke takes over as a cornerback, goes from the recruiting side of business to teaching. What was behind that decision?
DVD has been, you know, he's been in our defensive room. He understands our corner play. Been in our building, you know, has done a phenomenal job while working in our recruiting department. And you know, and really that's a lot what it came down to was, you know, we felt like our recruiting presence needed a boost. What he can do on the field is what we want. And so, you know, being able to bring DVD along is, I know it's great for him. And I think it'll be great for our program.
You got Jess Simpson back for a second time after some time in the NFL. Was that first choice right away what you were thinking?
Well, Jess did a phenomenal job when he was here the first time. And really, you know, our front play, our defensive line play, and especially the way we play the run was just phenomenal that year. And that was obviously something that was lacking for us a year ago. Not that it's just all about front play, but so, yeah, I mean, Jess is, he's so detailed. He brings NFL experience, great guy to work for. And then with me getting more involved in defense, being able to have Todd Stroud back in an advisory role to me to help out with, you know, whether it's, you know, what's going on in the training room and the weight room, academics, just all the places where the head coach really gets stretched thin, you know, especially with my role on defense increasing, it's great to have a guy that I've got absolute trust in, like Todd, that can assist me on those type of matters.
You had a lot of guys opt in here, and some of the names I was like, wow, this is great. Some I wonder, like, how this all takes place, because I wonder about, and I'm always concerned about development of younger guys, seeing all these guys come back for another year, then all of a sudden they're going, how do I fit into the picture? How do you handle that, by the way, that part of it?
Well, first of all, it's a great thing because players are staying, and they've chosen to stay. Number one, let's not forget about education. You know, they got a chance to finish their degree if they haven't done that yet. They have a chance to get themselves better. And then the third thing, more than anything, is they want to play for one another and with one another. And, you know, I don't ever see anything like it. I mean, we basically have our entire football team, with the exception, I think, of maybe four or five guys that are going to bring it back for this year. And that's special. And for the way that we ended our season with two difficult losses, where it'd be much easier for guys to say, hey, I'm out of here. I, you know, again, coaches say all the time they've got this, they got that, or whatever. I mean, that's pretty much proof positive that we have a chance to run it back with this team we had a year ago, plus our recruiting class, plus a couple of these transfers we've gotten in. I'm pretty fired up. I'm just fired up, not in terms of, oh, man, we should be able to do this, do that, whatever. I'm fired up because people are choosing Miami. And for a while, they hadn't been choosing Miami. We got great recruiting class. We got some big-time transfers. We've got the guys on our campus that say, I want to be a part of this. And that's exciting.
Coach, help me out on the transfer portal. I see Tyreek Stevenson, who is a great player coming out of high school, comes back to play cornerback for you. DeAndre Johnson, defensive end from Tennessee, and, of course, Charleston Rambo, one of the coolest names in college football, as a wide receiver, transfers from Oklahoma. How'd this all play out? I'm always curious. Is it need? Is it guys call you? Can you give us some of the insight on that?
Well, it's certainly need. In Rambo's instance, we felt like we had to have a receiver that could really blow the top off of the coverage and help us vertically. As we talked about during the season, we were hit and miss, and when we were hit, we were hard to stop on offense. But a little bit too inconsistent down the field with the deep ball, and we thought he's a guy that could really blow the top off of the coverage. And then same thing with the additions we had on defense. Obviously, losing the two defensive ends we did a year ago, we felt like we needed an older guy to come challenge our young ones that we think are going to be really good. With Tyreek in the secondary, I mean, we needed help there. We needed more competition at corner. We our numbers were below where they should have been. So to be able to add a guy. So really, what we do is we have an idea of need, and then you it's like fishing, man. You troll the portal. You set your bait out and you troll it and you see who jumps in, and you find out all of a sudden, hey, this name's in the portal. That's when you're allowed to reach out. You contact them. You make the contact. You find out there's an interest, and that's really how it goes.
Yeah, this thing's really, really interesting. I was talking to Larry Bluestein the other day, and he said we were talking about best player in South Florida. He said Leonard Taylor right off the bat. Leonard Taylor, unbelievable. You expect some of the young guys still? I mean, it's a big jump. I understand that from playing high school to thing. Could you see him being part of that defensive line year one, maybe in some other guys as well?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope the entire freshman class comes to compete. We want to play our best players. We want to give those guys a chance. And the ones that will have an opportunity, like we believe Leonard will, to be here mid-year, that's so crucial. And that's what we lost out on a year ago. Remember last year we had about 12 to 13, 14 guys that were mid-year, and they got 4 days of spring practice, and that was it. So, it's the same thing happened in the NFL because they took away OTAs last year because of coronavirus. It's hard to really get your young guys prepared when you don't have that extra practice time in the summer. So, yes, I mean, we want those guys to come in. But also, what we finally have got going on at Miami is that we have an older team with older guys that can teach the young guys, here's how you work, here's how you practice, here's how you watch film, here's how you do anything. It's been a while since we've had that, and I'm excited for those guys to pass along just the how-to.
Yeah, I was going to say, getting both your defensive tackles back, a lot of those offensive linemen another year. I was always talked to college coaches about this, that jump from 21 to 22 or just physically. That's a big year for guys physically, the big guys especially, that have got a lot of experience to really shine. Do you agree with that?
I do, and really a major point of emphasis for us this spring is going to be our off-season program in terms of another thing when we analyze ourselves a year ago because of the pandemic and the lockdown and spending 3 months away from each other really stuck a dent in our off-season training. And so these guys, when we come back, we're going to spend a lot of time eating iron in the weight room, and we need it. And like you say, those guys have a chance to really develop themselves and play like grown men, because obviously we'll need to.
I do, just getting back to this. So with all these guys coming back, and gosh, I mean, you got Williams coming back for his seventh year at tackle, said, I want to be part of this. If this is what the NCAA is going to do, I want to come back and be part of it. It's great. Do you worry, and how do the young guys that thought, like, man, I thought this was going to be my chance to play, now all these guys come back. What do you tell those guys? Coach, is it open competition? Or help me out.
Oh, yeah. First of all, everything is still an open competition. And we were so thin at so many spots a year ago anyway. Remember, we would travel to games with seven offensive linemen, or in the secondary, we'd have four corners. I mean, it was ridiculous. So, yeah, I mean, when we come back, everything this spring, I mean, it's all wide open. We want to see guys compete. We want to see, we always say what you did last year has no bearing on what you'll do this year. But also it gives us a chance to be a deeper football team, which is what we really want. We really want to be able to roll people, especially with the tempo we're playing at, play more than just 22 starters. So we're gonna have a big old competition. I'm excited because it's something we have not had because we've been so thin so often.
Is the expectation for De'Aaron King still on should be back for the start of the season? Is that what doctors are telling you?
Yeah, his rehab, you know the way he attacks that, it's like he attacks anything. He's doing a great job, and you know, barring setbacks, that is the plan.
How hard has it been having? I know you talked about having all the experience and all these guys coming back, which I completely understand. Man, the numbers though. Does this go back to normal after this year, or is this always? How's that work?
That is a phenomenal question, Joe, and everybody's a little bit trying to figure that out. Because obviously the NCAA made the rule to give everybody an extra year, and no one's really had the guidance of what that means for scholarship numbers down the road. You know, do you always have a class of, you know, this term that's just invented, super seniors? And do your super seniors never do they yeah. never count on your 85? Or all of a sudden, from an accounting standpoint, do we have to get right back down below the number? That is a, like most things, there is a law of unintended consequences, and that is not yet that has not yet come down the hill yet to find out exactly what the ruling is.
But I will tell, I completely get, Coach, all these guys opting back in. I mean, it was like, seemed like two or three names every day were coming back. Your two defensive tackles decide they're both coming back, which, by the way, I think is huge. Development of those two in the middle, having Silvera and Ford come back is really big addition. And then all of a sudden, your secondary, somebody had shown, we're talking about all the guys from Bolden and Hall and Carter to all the guys on the outside. My God, all of a sudden, adding the piece of Tyreek Stevenson, the depth of both. All of a sudden, I feel a lot better about your secondary after I thought so many guys were going to be leaving. Did that surprise you a little bit?
You know, in the month of December, a lot of the guys were talking about wanting to come back, and that, you know, that's why, again, Derek is such a humongous leader on this team, you know, because he's the one that sort of went out there publicly first and said it. But you could tell that was the whisper in the locker room, but you still never really know. You know, and then obviously the heartbreaking finish to the bowl game, and you just don't know. And then we're apart. We still haven't been around our team. You know, we don't start school for another week. And so you don't really know how it's going to play out. And it's been one of those things. We've talked about it before. It's been, you know, one of those things that's kind of haunted Miami, right? Guys leaving, and yep. Should they, and can they improve their draft status and whatever. And so, again, the fact that they have chosen to come back, the fact that they all want to be back, and they all want to do it together, and they're coming back. Individually, they can help themselves. Guys are aware of some of the things that they want, that they need to help for the NFL, but they're coming back because they want to win. You know, I mean, that goes back to what Derek told me, you know, the day he was, you know, made his mind up. He said, Coach, I just want to win. And they all want to win. They just want to win. And now, well, everybody wants to win. What that means is you're going to have an old football team that knows January to August what it takes to win. And you know, our work ethic has to match our expectations. And that's what's going to be fun about this offseason.
Do you have any more scholarships? Do you expect to keep this transfer portal for anything else? Or the three, is that pretty much going to be it?
It's for now. It depends on what happens with, you know, again, if they add to initial qualifiers, or I'm sorry, yeah, the initial scholarships, there could be a ruling on that. It may or may not happen. So we'll sort of hang tight and see how it plays out.
Coach, thank you, man. I really appreciate you finding time with all this news and all the stuff that's going on, man. You've been busy. You going to take a little vacation in there at some point, or you can't?
Hey, where would we go? We live in Miami in January. We're already in the best. We're already in the best place you
yeah,
can be.
That's true.
Not really hopping on an airplane right now, Joe.
I got you. No, I just, it's funny. I was just telling the wife. I said, we got to go somewhere. She goes, Keys? I go, let's do it. All right, that sounds good. Manny, thank you. Appreciate you coming on this morning.
Okay, Joe. Have a great day.
That's the man right there, Manny Diaz. Says, why vacation? We live in South Florida. I'm feeling that. I have not left South Florida in about a year and a half. COVID-19 had something to do with that. That's okay, though. Earlier today, I actually called and booked a trip to Asheville, North Carolina. I've heard it's nothing but good food, good music, good culture, scenic views, and breweries left and right. Main reason I'm going, the breweries that are left and right. But I'm not going until like October, so plenty of time for us to hang out. And we're going to be hanging out in just a minute with Greeny. That's right, Mike Greenberg talking to my cousin, as we say in South Louisiana, although we're really not cousins. Pretty obvious. Marcus Spears about some football here on 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. Running it back on 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. Playing back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Day. Social media at Dan Day Radio. Hit me up. Greeny. You can hear Mike Greenberg doing his thing right here on 560 The Joe, weekdays from 10 to noon. He is talking to a fellow Louisianian, that's right, Marcus Spears. They're talking about playoff playmakers, Drew Breeses, and Deshaun Watson.
I've said repeatedly today that the most important thing you can do for a young quarterback, the most important way you can put the finishing touch on your football team is by going out and getting a receiver. Look what Stephon Diggs has done to Buffalo. Look what DeAndre Hopkins meant in Arizona. So we looked over. Here's the list of some of the unrestricted wide receivers. And you know what? I'm told Marcus Spears is ready to go. The big fella joining me on the Goodyear Hotline. Let me bring him into the conversation on that thought. Hello, Swagoo.
G, what's up, my brother?
Well, you tell me. So I'm going to give you just a throw a couple of names at you. I've been sitting here all morning saying that the biggest difference to me between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen is that the Buffalo Bills went out and got Stephon Diggs and the Ravens didn't. And I think that was the difference in their development and the difference in that game the other night. So as I look at the list of unrestricted free agent wide receivers this year, you tell me, is there a guy who can make that kind of difference? Chris Godwin, Allen Robinson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Kenny Galladay. I'll throw in the names Will Fuller, T.Y. Hilton, and Corey Davis, who are also among the unrestricted free agents. Is there a guy on that list that says to you, yes, go get that guy and he can have that kind of transformational impact on your team?
I think it's Allen Robinson would allow you immediately to slide Marquise Brown to the number two wide receiver. You can get creative there. Allen can win one-on-ones, 50 balls. And he's already been a one, right? Like, he's already been in that mold. And it's a difference, G. Like, the football difference is the fact that Lamar can do so much and be creative that your number one wide receiver more than likely will have more chances to get open and more time to get open from that standpoint. So it makes sense. And we saw, obviously, the difference, not only in the fact that Stephon Diggs is there with Josh Allen, but we saw the difference in philosophy. We saw the difference in the ability to do more, to be a transformative team and play the style that you need to play in order to win a game. Yesterday showed up for the Ravens, and it kind of reignited a lot of the conversation that I was having. And look, by no means, you know, we talked about this early in the season. By no means was I with taking the run game away from Lamar Jackson and the Ravens not being a dominant run team. But I knew at some point during the season, G, just like it's taught us since we've been watching football, you're going to have to push the ball downfield effectively. They just haven't, they don't have the guys to do it, and they don't have the philosophy and scheme to do it. And that was what I was screaming, evolve the passing game. That don't mean get away from your staple and your foundation, but it has to evolve because in games like that, when you see Buffalo stack in the box with 8, 9, 10 guys down at the line of scrimmage, you need to have number one, Allen Robinson, or i.e. a number one wide receiver that's isolated out there against a cornerback that can win. And Lamar has the confidence in that. So it's a lot of things that need to transpire, but you are definitely right. They need a one. Allen Robinson fits that mold better than any other guys you mentioned. Yeah. I think Chris Godwin could be a one, but the fact that he's always had Mike Evans and now he has all of that talent around him, that would be a wait and see. You look at his skill set and you say, yeah, he could potentially be a one. He has some drops this year. But Allen Robinson is no doubt to me that he could be a one.
All right, so let's see if it's the Ravens or any other team that might be out there looking for a receiver to put them over the top. Greeny with you, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. As you listen to Marcus's unmistakable voice, that accent, that's a Louisiana accent. You were a kid from Baton Rouge, and you played at LSU. And so I wonder if you can help for people across the country who may not understand, put into words, if we did indeed see the last of Drew Brees yesterday, what he meant to that city, to that region of the country, what his career, it feels to me, goes far beyond what he accomplished on the football field. I wonder if you can put that into words for us.
Gee, first of all, look, like you said, I grew up in Baton Rouge, and, you know, Drew Brees getting into his career, his individual statistics, the things that he's done, all well documented. We know how tremendous of a football player and quarterback he was. But I remember growing up when people used to wear brown paper bags over their head when they went to Saints games. Mm-hmm. I remember the New Orleans Saints being the laughing stock. I remember the New Orleans Saints being in conversations that the LSU football team could beat the New Orleans Saints. And then they got Drew Brees. and Sean Payton, and they start to put together tremendous teams. They start to build a philosophy, and they start to do things like a world-class organization would do to put their guys in position to win. But then they had this quarterback, Drew Brees, who had been kind of thrown to the wolves because of a shoulder issue and didn't know if he was going to be healthy. They took a chance on him. He took a chance on the Saints in that city that they would get things right. And then you directly go back to Hurricane Katrina when he was there as the starting quarterback and all he did for the community and the people in New Orleans and being a part of that community, not only the revival of New Orleans, but ushering in kind of this new idea of what the New Orleans Saints would be and how people would view them, and not to mention winning the Super Bowl as well. So Drew has done more for New Orleans from a sports figure than anybody that's ever played. And I know Archie played quarterback there, and I know it's been some tremendous guys there, past Willen, that have done amazing things in the city. But none will be remembered like Drew Brees. Drew Brees' statue needs to go up in front of the Mercedes-Benz Dome, Superdome, as I know it. They need to make sure he's always a part of the thread and the fabric of what they do going forward with the New Orleans Saints. Like, he ushered in an era in football of a franchise that was in the abyss, that had no identity, that didn't look at themselves as champions. And he and Sean Payton created a whole different vibe in New Orleans. And now you see New Orleans jerseys all over the place, and you see it's a brand name now, and you see Drew Brees being there in the nine jerseys, his remnants of the work he's done off the football field will last for a lifetime. So if right now we're going to start talking about young quarterbacks in the draft, and we're going to talk about guys like Deshaun Watson going to a city and doing all of these storylines that we're going to have, When a franchise commits to a quarterback, when they pay a guy like the New Orleans Saints have paid Drew Brees, when you look at his career in totality with him being in New Orleans, that is the model of what you want your franchise quarterback to be. Not just winning games, winning playoff games, bringing a Super Bowl title, but also the impact on the community. It reaching far beyond the football field. So nothing but good things should be remembered about Drew Brees' tenure in New Orleans. Even more so the work that he did off the field, and obviously his Hall of Fame, elite, top 10 all-time career at the position.
It's well said. I agree with it completely. I was down there. I remember being there in the wake of Katrina when the Arena Football League played their championship game there. Mike and I went down and did that game. It was before the NFL had come back, and I remember what the city looked like, and I remember what it felt like, and then we were there again for that first game back, that first Monday night game. They have the Steve Gleason statue. That was the night of the block punt, and everything changed. It felt like the entire franchise changed in that night, and Brees was the most important piece of it.
Absolutely, and gee, that was a proud moment for everybody from Louisiana. Right, that was more than football, and like you said, Gleason and knowing his situation and condition, the way how they remembered him time and time again. Look, Drew Brees is the New Orleans Saints now. Like that is a connection that'll never change because of all of the things that transpired in that city that he was there to help heal and be a part of, along with what he did on the football field. And, gee, it's super unfortunate. Like, I can't talk all of this glowing stuff about Drew Brees and not realize how unfortunate the last 4 years of him trying to go win the Super Bowl has been. The way in the fashion that they lost, the Kyle Rudolph touchdown, the obvious pass interference that was missed, the miracle by Stephon Diggs in Minnesota, and now you, Tom Brady, you beat him twice in potentially your final season, and then you know that you got to play him a third time, and you got to play a team a third time, which is very hard to win against a team you play that much, and it's potentially his career ends that way. It's unfortunate. Would have loved to see him go to another Super Bowl, have an opportunity to win and put the Saints atop again. But at the same time, man, the bulk of his career is going to be great memories, and he's a Super Bowl champion. It don't matter how many you got. They all hard as hell to get.
Marcus Spears with me here on ESPN Radio. It's really well said. Two more things, big fella, with running along here. Let's start with Mahomes. If he can't play, does Kansas City have any chance to beat Buffalo?
I don't think so, G. It's hard for me to believe that Chad Henne will be able to generate enough offense to stymie what Buffalo has the potential to do. And for me, it would be more about the Kansas City Chiefs defense. Spags did a tremendous job. Listen, people up in arms about running the football as Stefanski and the Cleveland Browns not running it, handing it off. But I talked about it all last week. You're not going to just run the ball 60 times and beat the Chiefs. Obviously, with that train of thought, I thought Mahomes would be in. And it's like playing the Golden State Warriors when they were rolling. If you trade 3-for-2, you ain't going to win. Them numbers not going to add up. I just don't think they would be able to generate enough offense against Josh Allen and this Buffalo team. And two, let's not get away from the fact that this Buffalo defense only gave up 3 points to the Baltimore Ravens, G, after we saw the Ravens run through and over all the teams leading up until that point. So I believe it would be too much to overcome, and that's why you pay Pat Mahomes $500 million to play quarterback, because in these situations when you may be outmatched, he can obviously lift you up over the top of that. So it's just hard for me to believe that, but it was hard for me to believe Cleveland would beat Pittsburgh, too. After their tumultuous week and trying to get ready for that game. So anything is possible. I just think it would be a tall feat.
The numbers I'm with you. The numbers I'm getting from Caesars right now, they list it as a pick 'em because they don't know who's going to play. If it looks like he can play, the projections I'm getting is it would be Kansas City -4. If he cannot play, I'm getting Buffalo -3. So he's worth a touchdown, and frankly, he feels like he's worth a lot more than that. Let me get one more thing from you, big fella, before I have to run. The Deshaun Watson thing, you touched on it. What is your sense of the situation with Deshaun Watson? Why is this happening, and where is it going
to
go?
Gee, number one, Deshaun need to get the hell out of there. That's number one. Number two is this is not just about the hiring process. This is not an isolated situation. This is about DeAndre Hopkins being traded. This is about a lot of the stuff that transpired in the franchise with the late owner while Deshaun was the quarterback there. This is about J.J. Watt telling Deshaun we wasted a season, and that was strictly a shot at the front office. This is more than just you didn't interview Eric Bieniemy, you didn't involve me or take my input on the decision as far as the hiring process goes. Just get my insight. This is long before all of that. So that's the context I want people to hold us in, as opposed to just thinking this is one isolated situation that Deshaun got mad about and now he's ready to go and leave. This is a number of situations, a number of incidents where the Houston Texans have made poor decisions from a personnel standpoint and also who they hire and fire. Rick Smith did a tremendous job. This was a playoff team with Rick Smith as the general manager, and they let him go in an unconventional fashion after the success he had. And now Deshaun is just to that point. And we saw it. We saw Drake Johnson speak out. We saw DeAndre Hopkins finally say his piece about it. And now we just getting this is the backbreaker. This is the quarterback now finally saying, yeah, it's been a number of these situations that I've not said anything about. I signed the contract with the idea that we would have a better rapport moving forward and let alone get the money that I rightfully deserve based on my play. It's just a bad situation, but it ain't just started with this, G. Bottom line.
Exactly right. We spent a lot of time blaming Bill O'Brien, and that's not to suggest he didn't make some big mistakes, but blaming Bill O'Brien for things that may have gone well beyond him. I got to run. Marcus, thank you. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for everything, and we'll talk soon.
All right, my brother. See you in the morning.
That's Greeny with Marcus Spears. Real quick, want to talk about what Drew Brees means to people in South Louisiana. I think Marcus Spears, very eloquent. I always tell people, whenever they ask about the Saints and being from New Orleans and what it means to me, it's more of a religious experience than just football. People down here understand, of course, the Dolphins and all of our sports teams. Love them, love them, love them. But you have to understand, after Katrina, a lot of us in New Orleans felt as though the city might become the first city in America to just disappear. We really, really thought New Orleans may just go away. A lot of people moving away. A lot of people didn't want to come back that had left. Drew Brees came to town, and not only did he try to rebuild it, but he stayed when he could have gone. He was a free agent. He said, I'm staying here. I want to do this. And it gave a lot of people faith. And a lot of people who didn't know and a lot of people who had left said, you know what? I'm staying in New Orleans, or I'm going back to my home in New Orleans, and I am going to make this city great. And with that, not only did the city rise, the team started to rise, and it was kind of like a parallel. As the team rose, the city rose, and then the culmination of it all was winning that Super Bowl. That Super Bowl gave us the feeling New Orleans is back, and we're going to be okay, and we're going to be great, and we are great. So really, when you think about it, people say it's just a game, and it is just a game, but sometimes it's a little bit more. And Drew Brees gave that not only to a city, not only to an organization, but to every individual there. And that right there makes him one of the greatest of all time. And I'm not just talking about football players. I'm talking about people. That's enough about Drew Brees. I am Dan Day. Thank you for joining me. Remember, you can get the download for the podcast, our website, WQAM.com. You can hit me up on social media at Dan Day Radio. I'll direct you in the right direction, the radio.com app for absolutely free or wherever you get your podcasts. And let's do it again tomorrow right here, 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. Later, slug.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.